Take your Bible if you want, if you will. Let's stay in the Psalms and let's go to Psalm 89. I want to continue somewhat in the theme of Sunday school, but want to help us with this thought this morning during our church service, the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Psalm 89. And let's begin reading in verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Father, we're thankful for these few moments. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, teach us much, convict our hearts where we need to be convicted. Help us, Lord, in this time to become better servants for you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I love the word faithfulness. To me, and it's only an opinion, faithfulness is one of the highest virtues. I love testimonies of faithfulness. I love preachers who go and start churches and stay a long time. I love Sunday school teachers who have the testimony of having taught that Sunday school class for 30, 35, 40, 45 years. My especially favorite is those who teach junior high kids for 35 or 40 years. They deserve a special crown when you get to heaven, and I'm sure the Lord will take care of that. But understand this, all faithfulness is simply a reflection of God's faithfulness. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It is something that can be gifted, it's something that can be learned, it's something that can be imitated that we see in God's character. And God is absolutely faithful to us. If your Bible has inscriptions to the psalm, I want you to notice that Psalm 89 says this is a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. That word maskil just simply means that it is a song written to instruct, or a poem written to instruct. And then it gives us the gentleman's name, Ethan the Ezrahite. The title Ezrahite just simply means that he was of the Levitical family. It was his lot in life to be able to study and teach the Word of God to people. So he had a great knowledge of the Word of God, which gave him great knowledge of who God was. If you notice, just notice a phrase in verse 1, the last phrase, thy faithfulness to all generations. Notice verse 2. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish. Notice verse 5. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Notice verse 8. Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Four times in the first 8 verses of this psalm, I read the phrase, thy faithfulness. I'm not an incredibly bright guy, but I get it. This is a psalm written about the faithfulness of God. And because it's a maskil, it's a psalm that is written to instruct God's people about faithfulness, God's faithfulness. Notice some things about Ethan himself. Ethan, we said already, was an Ezrahite. But we may not realize this, it's a verse that we read over pretty quick, but in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 31, you don't have to turn there, Ethan's wisdom is compared to the wisdom of Solomon. Now, it doesn't say that Ethan is as wise as Solomon, But I'm going to be honest with you, when you make the verse that talks about wisdom and you're listed as kind of in comparison to Solomon, you're a wise guy. I've got a Strong's Concordance. I don't know Hebrew, but I've got a Strong's Concordance, which makes me extremely dangerous. And I looked up the name Ethan, and you know what Ethan means? The name Ethan in Hebrew means constant or permanent. I just want you to get the picture of this. So we have God's Holy Spirit speaking to a man who is a very wise man, who is of the Levitical family, who teaches the truth of the Word of God to the people of God, whose name means permanent or constant. And he says, Ethan, I want you to teach the people of God about the faithfulness of their God. Now, I find that interesting, but it's not enough to just know that. I want you to also recognize when this psalm was written. I could understand God talking about faithfulness if it was written while David was king, because, I mean, David was David. He was the sweet singer of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the king whom the kingdom grew under. So God was certainly faithful when he was blessing David as king, and God made a promise to David that one of his lineage would sit on the throne in perpetuity, which will be evidenced or realized in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I could understand God talking about being faithful when David is king. I could understand if this psalm was written when Solomon was king, because Solomon was the wisest man. And the kingdom of Israel, though Solomon did not live according to his wisdom, the truth is the kingdom reached its zenith under Solomon. It became the largest it had ever been. It became known across the world as a great kingdom. So I could understand if God wrote about his faithfulness under David or under Solomon. But get this, it wasn't written when David was king. And it wasn't written when Solomon was king. Instead, it was written soon after Rehoboam was king and the kingdom was split and things were being destroyed that people thought would last forever. Jeroboam had taken 10 tribes and taken them to the north, and they were known as the king of Samaria. And Rehoboam was left with just Judah and Benjamin, and things were failing and things were falling. And the people of God were saying, where is God's promises? Where is it that God is going to do what he said? It's not evidencing that God is going to bless Israel. Israel's failing. Where is God? And the Holy Spirit then speaks to Ethan and says, Ethan, I want you to remind my people that no matter what the circumstances look like, I am their faithful God. Our world seems to be messed up. Have you noticed? I'm telling you, it seems like everything's upside down. Truth isn't truth anymore. And it seems like the most evidentary things of truth are being denied. And our world is flipped upside down. And it seems like it's all failing. And sometimes we want to cry out, where is God? And the scriptures speak to God's people today, just like they spoke to God's people in that day. God is still God. God is still faithful. We can still trust the Lord. We can still count on God. And the world is not moving in the direction that men is pushing it. It is always moving as God allows this place to move, and not one promise of God will fail. Not one promise of God to his people will fail. And so God says, Ethan, would you remind my people about my faithfulness to them? Now, what's that mean for us? Let me give you five or six, as many as time will allow, things that it means for us today. Here's number one. God's people ought to celebrate God's faithfulness. God's people ought to celebrate God's faithfulness. Notice what it says in verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. We are blessed people living in a blessed time, difficult time, but blessed time. And out of our mouths ought to be a constant pouring of the praise of God. This world needs to hear us praise the Lord. But can I be honest with you? What often comes out of our mouth is not praise, but complaint and fussing and fuming. There was a time when Israel was in the wilderness and God had so blessed them. God had blessed them with water in a desert where no water could be found. But God provided water, not just for a few, but for millions and for their herds. God provided water. And there was no food to be found. You could chase an animal down and it might feed a family for a day, but there wasn't food to feed a million or 2 million. But God provided in that wilderness where no food was, where no water was, God provided every morning something called manna except on the Sabbath. And every morning they would go out and collect the manna and it would make them bread that the Bible said tasted like fresh oil. You ever dip that bread in oil? And that's pretty good taste. And it was nutritious. It met every nutritional need they had. And God blessed them with that day after day after day. And then you come to Numbers 11, and they're in the wilderness enjoying the blessing of manna and water, and out of their mouths pours this. They detested that loathsome white bread that God provided. And boy, when I see that, when I see Israel complaining about what God has provided miraculously, I just want to get so upset with Israel. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and spoils my party by saying, what about you? What about you, Edwards? Remember I saved you, and remember I blessed you, and remember I've blessed your home and your family, and remember I've provided for you every day, and remember on every occasion when there was trial, I provided for you, I blessed you, I helped you. What's that you said this morning, Edwards? You were fussing about something? I want to tell you, complaining as Christians is a far greater evil than we think it is. You and I are to have mouths filled with praise for the Lord, and too often He hears contempt and complaint from our lips. I think Ethan even gave us a little song. He wrote it for us. It goes like this. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, even when things don't go my way. Oh, wait. Finish singing that with me. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Some of us need to repent for the spirit of complaint that comes from our mouth that we harbor in our heart instead of the praise of how good and faithful God is to us every day. Here's number two. God's faithfulness, our faith can rest in God's faithfulness. There's not a lot of things that we can count on in this world. Men sometimes will disappoint us. What's popular today will most likely be forgotten tomorrow. We recently moved to Charlotte. We've experienced a lot of change, and that's what this message is birthed out of in my life. I as we were downsizing from our home and moving to Charlotte, North Carolina, I found my hula hoop. And I thought, boy, should I keep this? This might come back in, you know? And then I realized I couldn't hula hoop if it did come back in. And so my point is this, it's just always changing, always changing. I pastored this church for 37 years and something happened in my life. I grew older and what I used to do, I couldn't do. It's always changing. The economy's always changing. The life, the world around us is always changing. What's in today isn't in tomorrow. What's popular today isn't popular tomorrow. It just seems like it never stops. But I want you to understand that our we can trust in the midst of change that our God is still God even when everything is changing. And He even gives us proof of that. God says, let me prove to you that I am sovereign over change by working through change. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know if you noticed it, but last night the sun went down. Now, this is deep preaching. You got to think about this. The sun went down. Did you notice this morning that the sun came up? Now, I don't want to scare you, but tonight the sun will go down again. And then the sun will come up again. Did you know that it is now summer? I love summer, don't you? I love fall, but I despise winter. And then when winter is finally over, spring comes and then summer comes. What a coincidence! That's God. God is saying, look to the heavens. You're concerned because your health is changing. Your finances are changing. You're concerned because the world is changing. This party, that party, this problem, that problem. But He speaks into our lives and He says, I am sovereign even in change. I am in control of change. And you don't have to live with fear. And you don't have to doubt. You can put your confidence in me because I am faithful to you even through change. My very favorite hymn says this. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness of what? To thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Sing it with me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Would you remember something for me tonight when the sun goes down? Will you remind yourself that's God's promise that He'll provide what I need? When the sun comes up in the morning, will you remind yourself that's God's promise? He'll provide what I need through these changing days and this changing life and these changing circumstances. He will provide what I need. Here's number three. Heaven is sure because God is faithful. Look at verse 5. I love this. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Did you know that right now in heaven there is a congregation around the throne of God singing praises to the Lord? My mother and dad are there. My grandparents, some of my grandparents are there. And saints from all the ages are there singing praises around the throne. Did you know that I'm on my way there? Did you know that heaven is sure for me because February of 1975 I trusted the Lord? I'm going to heaven. You say, preacher, what is your point? Hey, my point is this. Sometimes in our generation, we think history began with us being born. Well, history didn't start till I came along. Hey, history has been around since God made it. And God is faithful throughout all of history. There really is a heaven that we are going to. Jesus is preparing a place for us. And His promise is that if He prepares a place for us, He'll come and get us and take us to that place. There is a heaven to be gained. And that means there is a hell to be shunned. And it means that you and I can live with confidence as we're saved. We're moving forward to that place called heaven. But we also must have a responsibility that you and I must be warning others that there is reality beyond this life. There's a reality beyond Facebook. There's a reality beyond Instagram. There's a reality beyond the celebrity of this day. There is a heaven. There is a hell. They are real. They have been. They will be. And we are going to heaven. We must warn them. about their going to hell. Here's number four. No human faithfulness can be compared to God's faithfulness. Look again at verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? I so appreciate faithful men and women, as I've already stated. But here's the truth. You better never put your trust in a man. Men will fail. I wake up every day trying to read the Word, trying to be right with God, trying to pray and be used of God. And you know what? There's some days that I'm a pretty good guy. Now, don't tell anybody, but there's other days when I'm not a good guy at all. And if your faith and trust is in me, or even your preacher who I think is the salt of the earth, we will disappoint you. Men disappoint. But every one of us in this room can make this testimony: God has never disappointed us. I get concerned about people who avoid God's church because men have disappointed them. And what I want to say to them is, I get that. That's why we have church, to help disappointing men. But the truth is, don't punish God, who has never disappointed you, on the basis of a man disappointing you. God has been nothing but faithful to you. God has been nothing but loving to you. And we are to worship Him, assembled together, praying for disappointing men, but honoring a God who has never, ever disappointed any one of us. He is faithful. Here's number five. We're moving quick. God will be faithful to you. God will be faithful to you. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Now, we've got to unpack that just a little bit. That verse is written in specific reference to King David. And what God is saying is, I made a promise to David, and my promise to him was that one of his line would sit in perpetuity on the throne and be a king. Now, we understand, because we have prophecy fulfilled, we understand that that is a reference to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, if we're saved, will serve with the Lord sitting on the throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And so God will honor that promise. And David, he's saying, David and David's family, I want you to be sure God will honor his promise to you. I come along and I say, well, I understand why God would make a promise to David and keep it to David, because David's David. And I understand why God would make a promise to Moses and keep his promise to Moses, because Moses is Moses. And I could go on with this, and I could say Daniel and Noah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Paul and Peter. But you know, here's the truth. God will be just as faithful to you. God created you, you lump of clay, out of the same stuff that He made Peter, out of the same stuff He made Paul, out of the same stuff He made David. And He said, David, I've got a plan for your life, I've got promises for your life, and I fulfill what I say to you in your life. But He looks at little old Mike Edwards. Notice how I called myself little old? Little old Mike Edwards, and He says, hey, I fashioned you out of the same clay that I fashioned David, and I've got a plan for your life and a will for your life, and I will promise and fulfill the promises that I have made for your life, just like I made for David's. We are as valuable to the plan of God as David, the king of Israel, was. And we need to stop ducking accountability and just say, oh, well, I'm just me. Yeah, God made just you. And God has a plan for just you. God has a will for just you. And we need to step into the will of God and let God fulfill His plan for our lives. And God will fulfill His plan in your life. Here's number six. I love this one. Your sin does not change God's faithfulness. Your sin does not change God's faithfulness. Look at verse 31. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. Can I ask you a question? Did David fail God? Yes. David sinned, didn't he? And David got chastised by God, didn't he? But notice this, verse 32. Then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I love this word in verse 33. I love it, love it, love it. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Listen, our failure does not mean that we cannot serve God. It does mean that we need to get right with God, but it means that God is available to restore us. God is a forgiving God, a merciful God, and God stands there and says to us, get back up. Get back in the race. Get back in the plan. We sometimes have our view as God is a God with a clenched fist. You failed. You rotten. Don't ever let me see you at my altar again. I had nothing to do with you. That is not who God is. We do not serve a God with a clenched fist. We serve a God who is more accurately pictured by that father of the prodigal son, who stands there and watches for his boy to return and has both arms open and says, get back here, get back here. Let's start over again. Let's try again. Let me put a new robe on you. I'm not saying we get saved again, but I'm telling you, when we return to the Lord, he is willing to receive, restore, forgive, use again. Stop using our failure as a reason not to get right with God. Get back in the game. God is a good God who loves you, who wants to use you, and God is a God who has a plan for your life. There's one last promise I'll mention, and that's this. God is faithful to save all those that call upon Him. God is faithful to save all those that call upon Him. I will illustrate this from my life. I mentioned my testimony earlier. Wasn't saved in a Christian home. My parents weren't saved until after my brother and I were out of the home. They got saved, and then they sent soul winners to witness to us, and we both got saved. And my prayer was so deeply theological. You know, I hadn't been in church. I didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't know the Bible. And I prayed a deeply theological prayer that went something like this, God, if you can save somebody like me, will you save me? And he did. And God did that in 1975. And God saved my mom and dad in 1974. And God saved people in 1950 and 1920. And God saved people in the 1800s and the 1700s. I'm just saying that in the past, those who understood they were a sinner and understood that they could not change their own lives and honestly called on the Lord and said, will you forgive me of my sin through what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross? Every time somebody calls out for God to do that, God's answer is yes. Because God is faithful to save those that call upon Him. And that's still true today. And it'll be true tomorrow. And it'll be true till Jesus comes. Because God is faithful to what He promises to do. Let me ask you a few quick questions and I'll be done. Do you celebrate God's faithfulness? Or do you or have you had a spirit of complaint? Well, preacher, you just don't know how I hurt. You just don't know what I'm going through. You know what I've learned, Pastor? Us preachers never understand. We just don't understand. And I say back to folks, I'm sure I don't. And I'm not being facetious. You don't know the hurts of my life. I don't know the hurts of your life. But I know that of all the hurts in my life, I've never been abandoned by God. And God has always blessed me through them. And God deserves my praise on the worst of the days. And for me not to have a mouthful of praise really is sinful. Let your faith rest on God's faithfulness. Well, I don't care how long you've been saved. Circumstances can change and things can come into your life where you just doubt. You just doubt whether God knows where you are. You doubt whether God knows what you're going through. You doubt if God understands. I know Pastor doesn't understand. I wonder if God understands. And every time we look at the sun going up and coming down, and every time we see the seasons change, we're reminded, oh yeah, God understands. And God is my God even in those difficult times. Heaven is sure because God is faithful. There really is a heaven that we're going to. This isn't an exercise in futility. This isn't just coming to a place that has a good program. It really is about our moving forward in time to a place called heaven. And we've got to take people with us. We've got to share that truth with them. No man's faithfulness can be compared to God's. But I'm not here today to worship Pastor Knickerbocker. I love him. I think he's a good and worthy man. But I'm here to worship the God that saved both of us. And I'm not going to punish God because some man disappointed me, or because some lady disappointed me, or because I wasn't appreciated or I wasn't noticed. God didn't have anything to do with that. I get disappointed all the time at Walmart. The lines are too long. But I still go. Stinking hypocrites down at Walmart, you know. We just got to think about, why do we do things? We got to remember that God will be faithful to us, and we've got to get back in the plan of God. God is not standing ready to drop a lightning bolt on us. He is standing with his arms wide open saying, let's work together. Let's do this again. Let's try again. I love you. I will extend mercy to you. I had one man say to me, preacher, you just don't understand. Again, I know I don't. He said, I've been to the altar 10 times for this one thing. He said, what do you think I should do? I've been to the altar 10 times. I go down. I'm sincere. I fail. Sometimes I make it a year. Sometimes I make it a week, but I fail. God doesn't want me back down there. And you know what I said to him? I said, you need to go 11. You need to go 11. Because God is a restoring God. And God is a merciful God. God is faithful. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand God is calling for you. I don't know what's all been in your life, but I know this. Every single one of us need to come to Christ through the cross at Calvary, where we acknowledge, you're right, God, I'm a sinner. And there's nothing I can do to change that fact about myself except receive what you have done in my place at the cross. Save me. And he will.